Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I was riding to church today with Joel, my come-to-church buddy. Amen. In our discussion, I looked down at his tennis shoes and said, "You don't have your steel toes on today." Amen. I've got... Sometimes the word of the Lord steps on us. Amen. But I pray today that the word of God would strengthen us. Amen. So if you got steel-toed shoes on, here we go. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13 is where I'd like to turn your attention. Praise the Lord. I just feel good in the Lord. I just feel that God is so good. Amen. God is really good. Praise the Lord. John chapter 13, beginning there to read at verse number 18, and I'm going to read down to verse 31, and also Acts chapter 1, verse 25. So I've got quite a few verses to read here. John chapter 13, beginning at verse number 18. "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit and testified and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me." I can imagine that was a very somber moment with the Lord. Verse 22, "Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake." Who is it? Find him. You imagine nudging him. Ask him who it is. "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, laying on Jesus' breast, said unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, Buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." Also from Acts chapter 1, verse 25. That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. My topic today is kind of a rough one. It is this: people that cannot be helped. People that cannot be helped. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. I know, God, that you're able. Lord, you are able to help us. Lord, I pray your will, Lord, to be accomplished within us. Lord, let your will be done. Thank you, God, for your favor. We ask, even now believing, in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, let your word touch us and let your spirit, Lord, be upon us. And Lord, put words in my mouth and help us, Lord, to receive it. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Judas had every opportunity. He had many opportunities to be saved. But he allowed Satan to enter into him. He let that happen. When he betrayed the Lord, it really destroyed him, his own self. Judas Iscariot has got a very bad name today. It's despised by many and thought of lowly in almost all instances. Now, why was Judas placed among the apostles? John chapter 17, verse number 12, suggests our answer. It says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name." He kept all of his disciples, his apostles, safe. "Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." There are four prophecies in the Old Testament, indicating someone close to Jesus would betray him. It was foretold. Now, why did Judas become a disciple of Jesus? Oh, there are so many reasons why. The same reasons why the multitudes followed him. The same reasons why you and I even follow Jesus. There are many reasons to follow Jesus, to become his follower, a disciple. Maybe Judas was attracted to Jesus' teaching. Or maybe it was the miracles that Jesus did. Or maybe he was influenced by the Jewish belief that the Messiah was to come. Or even the teaching that Jesus would conquer Israel's enemies. The reasons are varied and many. There's lots of reasons to follow Jesus. In fact, Judas spent some 3 years following and learning from Jesus. A long time. And yet, he was lost. Now, could Jesus have helped Judas? The answer is unequivocally. That's a hard word to say with a microphone in your hand. Without any doubt, for sure, absolutely, Jesus is able to help us. Yes. In fact, every man is called to salvation. Every person, Jesus is able to help. Jesus is able to save our souls and to bring us unto himself. And Judas was not an exception. He was able to help him. But, comma, the big part. Only if Judas had responded to the efforts of Jesus. It's our response that enables us to be helped. It's so sad. But to point out, Judas did not allow Jesus to help him. There's a theory that Judas was personally predestined by God from the beginning of time for eternal damnation, to be rejected as that's to be rejected. That is contradictory to the scriptures. It's against what the Word of God says. I don't believe it. Predestination in scripture only applies to the institution of the church. The church will prevail. The church will be the bride of Christ. It absolutely is predestined to success. There's nothing that anything on earth can alter that predestination. The church will be the bride of Christ. For sure. No doubt. God is just. And God deals with every person on that individual person's basis, his own or her own actions, and willingness to respond to the grace of Jesus Christ, to the gospel, to the word. It's up to each of us whether if Jesus will influence our lives or not. If we will follow him or not. We can, however, put our own selves into situations in which the Lord cannot help us. We could refuse the mercies of the Lord. It is in our ability to refuse to repent, to refuse the grace and the love and the power that is available unto us in the name of Jesus Christ. It's our choice. If we continue rejecting God by refusing to believe the word, if we just insist on harboring in an unforgiving spirit, if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. If we keep on doing the things that are against God, if we just keep our own sinful ways and keep doing the sinful actions, if we just refuse to repent, that is, turn from sin and turn to God, tell God you're sorry for that mess and ask Him to help you. It's up to us to do those things. God cannot, will not do those things for you. He will not make you do those things. The sinner must realize he is lost. Without God, you have no hope. We got to realize when we are that sinner that we are lost. And that we need to come to God and be obedient to His Word. We got to do what the Word of God tells us to do. Then God can and will help us. It's our choice. Do we want to accept the help from God or no? Jesus Christ stands. I've seen that picture of a door with no handle, and He's knocking on the door. You see, you have to let Jesus in. Jesus is not going to kick in the door of your heart. He is not going to force His way in. He's not going to make you live for God. Parents, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, the child won't depart from it. But you can't make that child believe in God. You got to show them. You got to lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Judas could have reversed directions at any time. He could have stopped the downward spiral of his life. You ever notice that people get into a habit or they get into a tradition or they get into a cycle that one thing leads to the other and the other thing brings them down, and that thing that's brought them down brings them further from God, and because they're further from God, they get in more trouble, and the more trouble causes heartache, and the heartache is in chaos, and the chaos ruins their life. It's a downward spiral of sin when we turn away from God. And it's not just sometimes or maybe or that might happen. My friend, you go in that direction, you're putting yourself in the drain. Going down in a cycle of sin. You choose that path. Now, it's beyond my mind's comprehension why someone would choose to go down the drain. To go in a cycle of sin. And yet, there are so many in our world that think it is we that believe in Jesus Christ that are the crippled. That we are the deceived. No. No, I know who God is. I know I've been touched by Him. He's helped me. He's fed me. He's delivered me. He's healed me. He's blessed me. He's helped me. I know how good God is in my life. There's no one that can tell me God's not good. I won't believe Him. It's not true. My God is good. My God is good. It takes more than a spiritual atmosphere. And thank you, Jesus, for a conducive spiritual atmosphere in our church that draws me to believe in God, that helps me to have faith in Him. I'm thankful for the wonderful presence of God that we feel in this church. But it takes more than just the atmosphere. It takes faith and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself to be saved. Amen. Let me talk for a moment, if you will, of the character of Judas. Judas was chosen by Jesus Christ. Judas became the treasurer of the apostles. He was the treasurer of the ministry. The money that was collected, the offerings that came in, the things that needed to be purchased and done, he held the bag, the money, if you will. And he paid for the needs of the ministry. Now, people whom Jesus cannot help, people that cannot be helped, is my message. Judas was the treasurer. Judas was an honorable man. He was one of Jesus' disciples. He was chosen by God. In fact, one of Jesus' own brothers was named Judas. Judas was trusted. The apostles did not detect any problem about Judas. He shared their lives. He received the same power that the other disciples had. Power of God. Power to preach. There was healing of the sick under Jesus. There was casting out of devils under Judas. Mark chapter 3, beginning to read at verse number 14. And he ordained 12, not 11, 12, that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Someone say, preach! He was among those that were doing the preaching. And Judas being included in this number, verse number 15, and to have power to heal sicknesses. Preaching in the name of Jesus, there are going to be people to be healed. And to cast out devils. I've seen healings. I've seen devils cast out. Literally. And Simon, he's surnamed Peter. And James, the son of Zebedee. And John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Barinoges, which is the sons of thunder. Praise God! They must have been exciting to hear them preach. Amen. Verse 18. And Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus and Simon the Canaanite. Verse 19. And Judas Iscariot, which also betrayed him. And they went into an house. I read all that to say Judas was a part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was there and a part. He was doing, partaking, preaching, healing, delivering. That he's seen it all. Judas started out well. Now he fooled everyone but Jesus. Jesus called him a devil a whole year before Judas betrayed him. Jesus knew ahead of time. John chapter 6, beginning to read there at verse number 66. I need a tissue. Can somebody bring me a tissue? There's no box up here. Thank you. Sorry. John 6, verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. I can relate to his every word there. I don't have anywhere else to go. This is what I believe. I know who God is, and I believe that he is the Holy One. There's none other but Jesus. I'm convinced. Whoo, man, I can relate. Where are we going to go? Verse 69. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered him, I have not chosen you 12, or have not I chosen you 12? And he did. And one of you is a devil. A whole year before the fallout in Judas's life. He spake, the scripture clearly identifies what he's speaking of. Verse number 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So scripture clearly lays it out way ahead of time. it's going to happen. Judas had natural abilities. But our natural abilities, our earthly or human talents, they are simply not enough unless we are consecrated to God. Just because you're a good singer doesn't mean you're anointed. Amen. Just because you're a good speaker doesn't mean you're a preacher. Our natural abilities are going to fall short in the kingdom of God. We need God to give us anointing. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Even those tough things in the world, God can pull down and put out of our lives. Amen. Even the rough situations, God can give us the answer. Amen. In the Spirit, in the Lord, in His own self. Amen. John, an example here in John chapter 12, beginning to read at verse number 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. I can picture myself in that room and how it's just very strong scent of that precious ointment, and her actions of crying and washing His feet with her tears and wiping His feet with her hair. She is worshiping God with all of her life, with her most valuable possession, with her own dignity, with her own self, with her own life, with her hair, with her tears, with her innermost, utmost emotions. She is totally involved in worshiping Jesus. Verse number 4. Then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot. This is a real big indicator right here. Simon's son, which should betray Him. Verse 5, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He was downing what was going on because he thought he could get more money if he sold that alabaster box instead of pouring it out unto the Lord. Be careful if you start criticizing what's going on in the house of God. Oh, why are we giving money away to some other place when we have needs right here in our own church, in our own... You know what? The work of the kingdom of God gives me great joy. It's worship unto the Lord when I give. When I am able to support the kingdom of God, that is worship. Be careful what you criticize. Why was not the ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. He was giving an insight into what was going on at that very moment. Amen. Judas, even after all that he's seen, after all that God had done in his life, he had been a preacher, he had seen healings and devils cast out and great power and great victory and great joy. He's seen all that in his life. And he became a thief. Now, he did not start out acting as a thief. He didn't start out that way. James chapter 1, verse number 14 and 15. But every man is tempted. Everybody has temptations. In fact, in our elements class today, it was pointed out that there is so much temptation in our world. You carry it around in your pocket or your purse and your iPhone, your smart device. It's available to you 24 hours a day. Sin is available all the time. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Where faith in God and His Word is weak, the ability of the Lord to help a person is also weak. If you won't look at the Word, if you don't know what it says, then you're vulnerable to the deceptions of the enemy. We got to study the Word. We got to know what it says. We got to believe it for what it is, that we might be able to fight against the wiles of the enemy. Unbelief is a very strong weapon of Satan. Unbelief hindered Jesus' ministry in his hometown of Nazareth. This is Joseph, the carpenter's son. Unbelief hindered the apostles from casting out demons. Unbelief hindered the Israelites from entering into the promised land. It was Judas's unbelief which made it impossible for Jesus to help him. Unbelief hinders our own lives today. Unbelief will hinder you. It would hinder me. It'll hinder the church from revival today. Unbelief. It is not enough for a Christian to start out well. Yeah, starting is important, but that's not the ending. We got to continue. Someone say continue. We got to keep on living for God. You got to live for God today. I hope you'll live for God here in this service right now. I hope today God will do something spectacular in your life. But it's not just today. You got to live for God tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next month and the next year in all of the days of the rest of your life. We're to follow God. Judas became a hypocrite. That's a word that it's not very nice. It's not very polite, if you will. Hypocrite, the word, is derived from a Greek word for actor under an assumed character. A stage player, if you will. A pretender. Judas put on a very good act. In fact, he deceived all of the other disciples. Eventually, his real nature shone through. You see, sin in a person will be found out. It will eventually be revealed. You might fool some of the people some of the time, but you're not going to fool God any of the time. God knows the truth. You see, Judas did not care about the poor, but he cared about the size of his money bag. Judas was called the son of perdition. We read that, John 17, verse 12. We read it a little while ago. The Oxford Concise Dictionary defines perdition as eternal death, damnation. It means ruin, loss, destruction, waste. Jesus was calling Judas a son of hell. Perdition is a definite state or place of punishment. My friend, heaven is a real place. It's not make-believe. It's absolutely real. There is a real heaven. Heaven is a place of eternal, forever. My mind doesn't even comprehend what forever is. It's beyond the ability of my thinking how big forever is. Oh, it's a billion years. Nothing. That's nothing compared to eternity. In my mind, I don't even really understand what a billion is. That number is too big for me. I don't even know how many that is. And hell is a real place. It is a place of everlasting, eternal torment. Man, my mind don't want to comprehend what that is. I don't even want to go there. In fact, we were all destined as sons of perdition. We were born into sin. We were born against God. Our nature was to be bad. Children of hell before Jesus changed our lives. Before Jesus set me free. Before Jesus drew me in. Before Jesus put his name on me. Now, with that great gift of salvation that Jesus made available to us, we are set free from sin, forgiven through the name of Jesus Christ, the sacrificial lamb. It's by him that we are saved. Jesus saved us. He is the King of Kings. He is my Savior, my Lord, my God. Amen. Judas had an act of betrayal. Perhaps the last time Jesus appeared, that Judas appeared with Christ as a disciple, it was a very close and intimate occasion. It was the Passover feast. It was the place that I was reading from. It was the last chance for Jesus and Judas to have that private and intimate conversation. And we need to converse with God, pray, seek his face, find his ways. Our topic and elements today was connecting with God. You see, Judas, even before that, he had already started negotiations with the priests. He'd already talked with them ahead of time. In Bible days, the Jewish custom was not to sit on chairs at a feast, but rather participants reclined on cushions around a very low table with the host at the head of the table. The guests, they sat so as to lay their heads against the one sitting beside them. A very intimate and close place. John reclined against Jesus, laid his head on his chest, his breast, it says. It is suggested that next to him, right there on the other side, Judas occupied the other place next to Jesus. Sitting next to Jesus, perhaps, was the most honored position where the host could lean his head directly on the person. Sitting there was considered a mark of the utmost trust and friendship with the host. Jesus and Judas sat close enough that they could talk while being unheard by all the other people at the table. You could whisper to the person next to you and be heard. And also, Judas had to be close enough that Jesus had that bread and he dipped it in the sop and the juice, the au juice, if you will, today. So they call it a little bit different. Put it in the au juice. You know, you pick it up and it's dripping, right? Kind of hard to walk it around to the other side of the table. No, I'm telling you, Judas was right. He handed. Judas was close enough to Jesus that he was right there. In my mind, Jesus put the bread in his mouth. That's how close he was right there. He put his own food, his own sop, what was ready for himself to eat, he gave it to Judas. They were close, is my point. Jesus is right here, right now. Jesus is my friend. He's closer than my brothers. He is so dear to me. My Lord and my God. Jesus offered him the sop. It was a great sign. A great showing of his love for him. He cared for him. I tell you, Judas could have at any time turned from his wicked ways. He could have at any time repented. He could have at any time turned toward again serving God and not money, not the bag, not the things of this world. Jesus knew in advance that Judas would betray him. Yet he tried again, even at the Last Supper, to draw him in, showing his love and his friendship. He loved Judas and was very kind unto him. He was still, even at that late hour, reaching out, trying to touch, trying to reach the unlovable. Judas resisted the offer of Jesus. And he went out that very night to betray him. Satan entered into Judas. Luke chapter 22, verse number 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. John 13, verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. John, jumping down to verse 27, John 13, 27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Even after Jesus had given the utmost sign of friendship and love, even then, Jesus, his best efforts, Judas determined to betray him. And Jesus said unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Judas had made his final decision and allowed the devil to enter into him. Let me point out this. It was not necessary for Judas to submit to Satan. You don't have to give in to the devil. You don't have to fall for sin. You don't have to do those things that are against God. You don't have to. You can be delivered. Follow God. Trust Him. You see, He had the same power as the other disciples. He had power to cast out devils. He had power to use the name of Jesus. He returned with the 70, saying, "Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." He knew how to use the name of Jesus. Satan was also seeking to enter into Peter. Satan is seeking to take you away into sin. Jesus said to Peter, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Help somebody else. Amen. When you're convinced of Jesus, help somebody else. Judas could have been protected by Jesus' prayer. Jesus was praying for him. Jesus loved him. Jesus wanted him to be saved. But he chose to go out. He left that special place and went out into the night. Satan can do nothing to the children of God without permission. Satan cannot take me out of the hand of God. God's got to let him, and I have to let him. I have to let Satan draw me into sin to get caught up in that mess. You see, we have around about us a hedge of prayer. I know my mother, who long ago has went on to her reward, prayed that her children would be saved. Amen. She prayed that I would find and know the Lord. There's prayers that do not die that are before the Lord our God. God wants us to be saved. There's others that have prayed for us to be saved. And yet there is the hedge of the blood of Jesus the Christ. Jesus gave himself that we might be saved. He is the one that paid the price to redeem us. Judas had the last chance. It was the garden of Gethsemane. The last time Judas saw Jesus as Savior was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The next time Judas sees Jesus will be when he stands before the righteous judge. I'm telling you, every one of us will see God. We will all meet our Maker. Amen. What a wonderful, spectacular opportunity that Judas wasted. He should have been on his knees before Jesus repenting. Yet he chose to betray the Master with a kiss. The soldiers knew that the sign was, "The one that I kiss is he." It was a predetermined indicator that. Oh, what a wasted opportunity. Judas later tried to confess his faults before the priests. That didn't do any good. Judas and Peter, both of them failed the Lord in the last days prior to the crucifixion. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. "I know not the man. I don't even know him." 3 times Peter denied him the night of that crucifixion. But Peter repented. There's a big difference between the two of them. They both fell short. They both did wrong. They both got caught up in flesh. But one repented. It was Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. It was Peter that preached the original plan of salvation. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse number 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It's a question we still have today. What do I got to do? "And Peter said unto them, on the sign right behind me, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." God's not changing his mind. This is the plan to be saved. Matthew chapter 7. Musicians, come please. Matthew chapter 27, verses 4 and 5, saying, Judas committed suicide. Let's just say it straight up. Judas killed himself. Matthew 27, verse 4 and 5, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, the priests. He went to the priests to repent. You know, don't go to a priest to repent. You need to take it directly to the Most High God. Amen. You got to repent before Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And they said, the priest, "What is that to us? What do we care if you... Man, what coldness. What awfulness. He received in that house. See thou to that, or you take care of your own stuff. I mean, that's an English version of what it says. Verse number 5. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went out and hanged himself. He, in essence, committed suicide. He killed himself. He felt so bad. Feeling bad is not going to save your soul. When you mess up, because we're human beings, every one of us is going to mess up. And when we mess up, take it to Jesus. Take it to the Lord. Turn from your wicked ways and follow Jesus. Follow the Lord our God. When you mess up, get right with Jesus. What a terrible, stand with me if you would. What a terrible end. What an unnecessary waste for a man who had so much potential. A man that was used of God. While we here today, we have the opportunity to make Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 10 says, wherefore rather, brethren, fellow believer in Jesus Christ, you're here in church today because I believe you know who Jesus is. Or I hope you'll find out who He is. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if you'll follow Jesus, ye shall never fall. Ryan, keep on loving Jesus, will you? No matter what other people say or do or what they say about you or what other people think or what other people done or what, don't depend on what other people think. Get right with Jesus. Ron, get right with Jesus. Get right with Jesus. Joel, get right with Jesus. I can't do it. You need Jesus. If anything I say, get right with Jesus. Trustees in our church, elder, trustee, get right with Jesus. Get right with Jesus. Get right with Jesus and find Jesus, man. Find Jesus, will you? Find Jesus. Come on. Would you come on? Come on, this altar is open. Let's find Jesus. Above all other things in this life. Find Jesus. Find Jesus. And He will save your soul. It's not in me, I can tell you that. It's not in man. It's not in things. It's not in stuff. But our salvation is in Jesus. Worship Him. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Magnify God with me now. Worship the Lord.
In Christ alone will I glory. Though I could pride myself on battles won, I've been blessed beyond measure. By His strength alone I'll overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like time.